Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Happy New Year edition of the Grilling Guys. Hope Santa Claus was good to all of you. Barbecue Bob is out on his doing a little sabbatical this week. So joining me in the studio is the Baritone of Beer, our a longtime sponsor and friend of the show, Chaz Thompson from Schmoes. Welcome, Chaz.
Morning, Jop.
Hey, man, it's good to be here. Thanks for making time. I know you've got a lot going on this time of year with your ice fishing and the preparing for the Worlds and all the other stuff, and we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show and talk about some ice fishing. But we're going to focus a little bit on the New Year's feast. And some party food and things that you can do with your friends and family on the grill. But before we do that, we'll probably talk a little bit about how to prep your work area in this frigid cold weather.
You know, I was thinking about that when you called me and said, let's do the show. And one of the things I grilled this week, and right. One of the things that you don't always realize and too many people forget, as soon as you open that grill lid, whatever kind of grill it is, you have just let so much cold air in.
Right.
And that is a shock to what you're doing. So one of the first tips I have for people is get that remote thermometer, the one with at least the cord that leads out, so you don't have to open to take a temperature.
Right.
I love my ThermoPen, but it's a little too cold to be opening that lid very often.
Right.
Checking things.
So ThermoPen as a company makes a remote grill. There are many of them out there. I actually had some family members that got one as a gift, not from me, but made the phone call to me and say, how do I use this thing? And the better ones have two probes, right? There's one that goes in the protein that you're cooking generally, and the other one is the ambient temperature inside the grill, right? And this one that they had actually had alarms on it. So you could set the temperature of what you wanted the internal temperature of the meat to be, right? And then you could set the grill temperature as well so that it would alert you with an alarm.
So you can hit pause on the football game.
Yeah, exactly. And walk out there and check it. And it was just nice because it is cold, right? And you want to stand at the grill.
That leads into a couple of the models that I have. You know, I'm like you. I buy them all.
Right.
And I have them that are wireless.
Okay.
You know, it's 150, 200 feet. But that gets you back to your chair watching the football game.
Right.
While that's out there doing its thing.
Yep. So it's a little app that comes with the thermometer, right? And,
yep.
And they talk to each other. And when you can adjust the temperature on the one that they had from the app if you want to. It depends how sophisticated you want to get. I assume this was maybe like $59, $69. This wasn't like a $300 unit. They're very affordable for anybody that wants one. But for this time of year, it's a great tool.
Exactly. Now, another thing that I did when I was out there is I'm a big fan of the bricks. Now, I don't have a big green egg
Sitting
out there, which is an excellent grill this time of the year because all that ceramic is going to retain heat.
Right.
So on my big Weber, what I do is I foil wrap some bricks. And now I have something that's going to stay hot in the chamber, even when I open that lid, to help it recover faster.
Right. Because, as Chaz mentioned, when you open that lid, heat rises, guys, right? I mean, and it's gone. I mean, it's instantly gone. And you went from maybe a 300-degree temperature in that chamber down to whatever the ambient air temperature is in 10 seconds, right? Your burners are still going, but it's going by everything.
That was -5 the other day.
Yeah, exactly. But these bricks, great tip on the bricks.
And, you know, even there's times when I don't want a direct fire, I might foil cover 8 bricks, and I'll cook on top of the bricks.
Yeah.
and I can still get my smoke in there. I can still get my flavor. My grill's big enough. I can still have a char spot over on the side where I want the direct fire.
Right.
Get that sear on it and move it over. Or if you're a reverse guy, do it the other way.
Right. Yep. And the reverse is that you bring up to the internal temperature than you want, and then you put the sear on it at the end, right?
Exactly. And a lot of guys are finding out as they do this, and then they slice into their steak or whatever they're cooking, is that rather than getting that really dark char and then that gray area and then the cold pink in the center, what they're getting is a nice soft pink all the way through and then just the char around the edges.
Right, almost like a little skin on it, right? Just to make it pretty. Because you're not trying to cook it, you're just trying to make it look more appealing to the eye, right?
That and get a little bit of that extra caramel flavor on the outside.
Right, yeah, maybe harden up your salt a little bit and cook your pepper and things like that. I mean, I'm a salt, pepper, garlic guy on a nice T-bone or porterhouse steak. That's all it takes. I want the meat to be the king there.
Yeah, if I spent the money on the meat, I'm not putting cheap spices, you know, to turn it around.
Right.
I already spent the money.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about holiday beers, because I know there's one particular, you might even be out of it by now, I don't know, the Miracle off 28th Street.
We're getting close.
Right, exactly. But for those that don't know, where's Schmoes, and tell us a little bit about it.
Schmoes has been around. We just celebrated our 13th year. We're over on Patterson, just north of 28th Street, right next to the ice rink. So if you're dropping the kids off for hockey or open skate, we're right next door. So if you're a parent that doesn't skate, we got a little path. You come on over, have a few beers.
Don't even need to get in the car.
No.
Nope.
Walk on back, get the kids, and go on about your holiday activities.
Right.
Miracle is a English old ale. And okay. We drank some a few weeks ago on the air.
Absolutely.
And it has just these very deep caramels and stuff. And it pairs really well with those winter comfort foods.
Right.
Now, one of the things I want to distinguish between is pairing and cooking with. When you put a beer into something to make a sauce or something, that's cooking with it.
Right.
Pairing, that's just putting the beer in a glass next to that meal and saying that those two flavor combinations go really well together.
Well, and I know that you kind of specialize in this. You actually teach this at a couple of the home shows that are happening. The Food and Wine Show, you're actually down having people come in, different chefs, and you're taking your beers
and doing that. I do it at restaurants all over the state as well. We do these beer dinners. Now, sometimes those chefs decide to integrate some of the beer into their sauces, which is a whole another 10-minute segment.
Right.
And then most of the time, what we're doing is just saying that, well, if I'm going to have a nice steak with just salt and pepper and garlic on it, what do I really want to drink with that? And most of the guys around West Michigan are going to go with a simple pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
The steak's the star. We just need a good, friendly beer to go
with it. Rather than a big, heavy IPA that's going to grab the back of your taste buds and hit that hoppy, real flavor, that, to me, overpowers
the rest of the meal. It's like using too many seasonings on an expensive steak.
Right.
Now, if you get into something that's a little more mellow, you know, you're a casserole or something like that, you're baking in the Dutch oven out on the grill or something like that, it can use a more exuberant beer. And we have done a mac and cheese with gargonzola cheese on it.
The crumbles, blue cheese, right?
So that's and then a little prosciutto on top.
Oh, nice.
And we paired that with our barley wine,
okay,
which is like that 12th level of heaven.
Yeah.
And when people ate that, they had to just kind of set back and absorb everything that had just gone on, because that was huge.
Right.
But if you're doing something that is a rock star, like a steak, just go good but simple.
Right. A milder, lighter beer and let the steak do all the work, right?
I like an ale rather than a Pilsner or something else with a steak. But it just gives you that gentle fruitiness that complements that steak, but doesn't outshine the steak.
Right. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the number one staple on the smoker is pulled pork. But these things come in a chunk, right? And a clod, some people call it. But there's a bunch of meat when you're done. And oftentimes, unless you got a huge group around, you got leftovers. of it. So what we're going to talk about is how to prepare one of these, because we get this question regularly, and then what to do with it once we've got it cooked, right? So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.